Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it is the refreshing!
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5. Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
It's the Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman time.
Y'all must have forgot why we the best.
People say the punches weren't really necessary.
What do you mean, why were they not necessary?
Because he was already knocked out at that point.
But the referee hadn't pulled me off. And my job is to hit somebody till the referee pulls me off. So to those people, I would say maybe don't watch him and they go back to soccer.
You know, I made history here tonight. I set another record. It's my name in history one more time.
WFAN and Odyssey.com.
You guys caught me under a bad time, but you know what I'm saying? The Rock's cool. I like ballers. You know what I'm saying? But he picked the wrong side. He picked another side, so he could get it too. He could get his ass whipped too, straight up. With all due respect, he could get it too.
I definitely want to defend my 145 belt. And let's see, I'm going to talk to Dana. Dana, tomorrow I'm going to call you. We're going to have a talk. I love you, boy.
Here's your Fight Fan host, Pete Hoffman.
This is the Fight Fan with your host, Pete Hoffman. Follow me at the Hoff WFAN, at the Fight Fan WFAN on Twitter, at the Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman on all other social media. That's right, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, WFAN.com, and the Odyssey app. This week, this episode, being joined by Long Island native, fighting on UFC 268, Madison Square Garden, Mr. Raging Al Iaquinta. He will be previewing his fight with Bobby Green, but also just talking a bunch of other stuff, just about, really, we get into a really awesome conversation about his experience, you know, that week fighting, which led to him fighting for the title versus Khabib Nurmagomedov. We kind of get into that. We get into a bunch of other stuff. But Al, amazing interview. You will check that out in a few minutes. It'll be on. But right now, I need to get into a little bit of a preview of tonight's big fight. If you listen to this on Saturday, October 9th, it is the trilogy. It is Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury 3. Yes, the trilogy. The rare trilogy in boxing these days, in any combat sports these days, the trilogy. What do we expect out of a trilogy where we saw a draw in the first fight and then Tyson Fury basically dominate Deontay Wilder in the second fight, wins by TKO in the seventh round? Even though the last few rounds was basically a beatdown, where Tyson Fury, I mean, you saw Deontay Wilder look like his eardrum burst from the damage that Tyson Fury was landing on Deontay Wilder. But there's a rematch. There's a rematch clause. And I guess thankfully so we got this out of the way, or we put this scheduled in here so that we didn't have to see the Anthony Joshua Tyson Fury fight, which we see now that Anthony Joshua is just not who we thought he was. So Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, 3. What are we going to see? We're not going to see the over-the-top walk-in by Deontay Wilder. That's for sure. We got that out of the way. He made his excuses. He said his suit was too big. His legs were jello. He just didn't have his legs. And it's all because of the 35, 50-pound suit that he had on. Okay, got that. Great. It's out of the way. So he better just walk in there with a little robe, do your normal entrance, and get in the freaking ring. And do not give anybody an opportunity to criticize what the hell you're wearing and what the hell you're doing. That's the first thing. Tyson Fury, you can do what you want. You're the champ. You've already got this. There's no way to lose this trilogy regardless, because at the worst, it's going to be 1-1-1, which we do not want, which I do not want. I do not want this to go 1-1-1. I got to be honest. I'm kind of rooting for Tyson Fury to dominate and just get this thing over with, because I do not want a 1-1-1, a win for Tyson, a win for Deontay, and then the draw, because then we got to get a fourth fight out of it. It's like Conor. It's like Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. Conor's dying to get that rematch again because he broke his foot, broke his leg. He wants to get back in there because that was not really how he thought the fight was going to go somewhere else, and he was very confident, and he trained all his ass off and all this other stuff, broke his foot, but he still wants to get back in there. Okay, that's fine. You can want to, but to be fair, that fight was going to end sooner than later with you on your back. Dustin Poirier, clearly the better of the two fighters. We don't need to see a fourth fight. We just don't need to see it. Hey, give me Nate Diaz, Conor McGregor. I'll buy into that. That's a great fight. That's a great trilogy. Why not? That seems much more serviceable. Much more of a tastier matchup. And that's the same thing with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder is not winning a decision versus Tyson Fury. His one and only way to win is by knockout. We see Tyson Fury constantly. I mean, that guy, over the past few years, what we've seen him do, what he has come back from, the weight loss, the suicidal thoughts, the addictions, the everything, he has put himself in such a mindset, a winning mindset. He willed himself back up after getting clocked twice in that first fight with Deontay Wilder. Getting smoked. And he got back up. If Deontay touches him, he will get back up again. No questions asked. That will happen. If he gets touched, though. Because that's the thing. We've seen Tyson now many times. Weave and Bob. And just go with the punches. Roll with the punches. I mean, when does he get touched flush? He got touched flush the first fight. If that, not so much. And that's what makes him great. He moves so soundly. For such a big guy, he is quick. He can avoid the strikes. And Deontay is just going to sit there and just try to land that one big knockout punch. And it comes almost lucky when he lands it. When his opponent gets lazy and gets lax. And I don't see Tyson being lax. I just don't. So, we're at the trilogy point. We're here. Let's get this done. I don't know if Tyson's going to knock him out again. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that Deontay's going to be a little bit more careful, less careless. And I know that he's going to go in there with more of a purpose. But the question is, does that make a difference? No, because Tyson Fury's that much better. Lock it in now. And then the betting favorite, I think he's just 250, minus 250. And I think Deontay's a plus 225, if I'm correct. I mean, if you want to go, obviously the money line, you know, going money wise, plus 225 is crazy if Deontay does win. But will he? That's the thing. Will he get an opportunity to touch Tyson Fury? No, I don't think so. I think it's a waste of time, waste of money. That being said, UFC before that, you got the UFC event with Miss Mackenzie Dern. And hold on, let me pull this up. Because they screwed this up for some stupid reason. Google changed it. All you had to do was put UFC in the Google search and you go right to the events. Well, now they make you put UFC events in the Google search, and I'm too lazy for that. I don't want to do that. I just want to put UFC, but I had to put UFC events. It's fine. Mackenzie Dern versus Marina Rodriguez main event. Randy Brown, Jared Gordon, co-main. Tim Elliott, Matthias Nicolai. Nicolou on the featured fight. Sabina Mazo, Maria Agapova, and then Chris Gutierrez and Felipe Calares. Those are the main card. Prelims, you got Charles Rosa on there, Damon Jackson, Jared Vandera versus Alexander Romanov, heavyweight fight. And they were supposed to be Phil Hawes versus Deron Wynn. Wynn had to get out of the fight. So Curtis Chris? I'm screwing up the name now. But his trainer basically went in and offered to fight. Looked like it was going to happen. And then Hawes decided to back out. Then, all of a sudden, when Hawes backs out, James Krause says he'll take over the fight. So, it started with two guys, was going to finish with two other guys, and then they just scrapped the whole entire thing. But the attempt was there. So, I guess that's cool, right? The attempt was worth it. As far as... Uh-oh, Randy Brown events at Jared Gordon's co-main event. Weight miss. Everyone's always missing weight. Sometimes I don't even worry about it. It is what it is. Jared Gooden. Not Jared Gordon. What am I talking about? What am I doing? Anyway. So, yeah. Though it's not the best card. It's not the most exciting card. It is what it is. It's a card. It's nice to watch. And it's a nice little... See, I will sit there and watch the UFC event into the Fury Wilder event. And it's a better lead-in than anything else that they're going to put on that pay-per-view event. Like, there's nothing on those prelims leading into Fury and Wilder that's going to interest you. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. Those names don't ring a bell. They don't... No one sticks out at all. I'll waste the $70, $60 on the main event to watch those two fight, and they'll drag that thing out for an hour, and I guess that'll be worth it. But I'm sitting watching the UFC fights all day. That's what I'm doing. Because at least those fights, they're a little bit quicker, and there seems to be more action. So I'll watch that as the lead-in. So it was a smart job by the UFC and Dana and all of them to do that. All right, well, listen, let's get off with the rambling. Done with the rambling. Here he is, UFC 268 lightweight Al Iaquinta. This is the Fight Fan with your host, Pete Hoffman, and joining us right now fighting at MSG on November 6th. It's Raging Al Iaquinta. What's going on, Al? What's up, man?
What's up, Pete? I'm... I'm on my way to a workout right now. Very glad that we're able to connect. And I know it's been a long time coming, so thank you for having me.
Dude, it's my pleasure. It's my honor, dude. I've been waiting to talk to you for quite some time. I've been a big fan of you for quite some time. I got family that's like so close to you. I got family that lives in Seaford, Levittown, and I don't understand how we never crossed paths.
Yeah, that is surprising. You know, Long Island is a small island. I actually lived in Seaford for like 6 years. I just moved to Merrick about 2 years ago. But before that, I was in Seaford, living in Wantagh forever before that. But better late than never, huh?
Listen, let's talk about your upcoming fight. You're fighting November 6th, MSG, Bobby Green. How are you feeling going into this fight? How are you physically right now? Is everything, are you 100%? I mean, it's never really 100%, right? As far as physically?
You always have little things and this and that, but for the most part, this is the best I've ever felt. Training hard, back on a good schedule, good regimen. I had a lot of hiccups in the road in the last 2 years, and to finally be back where physically, mentally, I have to be to get in there and be confident in my skills. It's just short of a miracle, to be honest with you.
Well, a question for you, because you happened to get lucky during this pandemic. I'm not sure if lucky is the right word, but you didn't experience the fights with no crowds. You didn't have to deal with that at all. So, but you have had a long layoff. So in your aspect, you know, coming back to fighting MSG hometown with the crowds returning, this is the first time that the Garden or the New York is going to have an MMA fight in over 2 years. So how is it feeling to be fighting in your hometown for this type of fight?
It's an amazing way to come back. It couldn't have been done any better to come back to Madison Square Garden, one of the best cards ever, really. And UFC always brings a great card to the Garden. And to be on it is incredible. With the crowd coming back, I would have liked to have been fighting the last 2 years, even if there was no crowd. But definitely, if there was a time to be out, I guess that was the time. So definitely looking forward to it. And MSG is the dream for anybody that's in any combat sport, boxing, MMA, show business. Madison Square Garden is the mecca. That's where it all goes down. So it's a dream come true.
Al, you're obviously a local New York guy. Are you a big? Do you have some sports teams that you're really into at all, or no? Are you more just fixed on the box, the fighting world?
Growing up, I was a big hockey fan. I was actually an Islander and Ranger fan. Kind of weird.
Is that legal?
Right. You know what it is? I loved. I just root for New York teams. I guess I don't know. I'm not really. I would go to the Islanders games all the time. Get the guys' autographs. It was right up the block from me. You know, like 10 minutes to Nassau Coliseum. But the Rangers were really good, so I kind of had the best of both worlds. I went to. I'm not never really a huge basketball fan, but I would always go to Knicks games just for the show, really. It's just hop on the Long Island Railroad, and you're at Madison Square Garden less than an hour, and have a couple beers on the ride in. It's always a good crowd on the trains, and then afterwards coming back home, everyone was a little rowdy, especially when the teams won. So yeah, it was just a good time.
Are you into baseball? Are you into the football? Are you buying into the Jets and Giants after their first World victories? Are you looking into tonight's a big night for baseball? Yankees, Red Sox. Are you feeling that at all? Are you going to watch that tonight?
You know, probably not. I'll be in the gym. I'll be in the gym training.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a Milo's Rewards or a Milo's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I used to be a lot more into the other sports, but once I really got into fighting, it was nothing as intense. You know, you watch a 15-minute fight, and in 15 minutes you get what you get in a two-hour football, baseball game, you know what I mean? So for me...
Who really turned you into the fighting game, out of curiosity? Like, what was the big moment for you where you're like, I'm hooked?
I always had a fascination with fighting. I wrestled in high school, and I liked the fact of mano y mano, one-on-one. The amount of work you put in is the amount of success you get out. It really is. No matter where you start, you know, everyone has like their natural starting point physically and mentally and everything. But with wrestling, I found that you could just put in the work, and the people that were working the hardest were the people that were getting their hand raised more and more. And that stuck out to me. One of my friends was into the UFC and kind of got me into it. In high school, we went to UFC 53 in Atlantic City.
Mm.
And I remember the energy in the arena. I had been to hockey games, baseball games, football games. I'd been to everything. But there was no feeling like being in the crowd at a UFC event when someone got knocked out, or when I remember there was a guy went for a submission attempt and everyone went nuts because they thought he was going to get it. Then the other guy escaped. And I didn't know what I was looking at, but I knew that guy had trained that escape thousands of times in practice to be able to escape from a position where his arm was about to get broken, and he escaped, and now the crowd went nuts because, you know, it's the energy in the place. And that ended up being Matt Serra. At the time, I didn't know who. I knew he was from Long Island, but I didn't know much more than that. And here we are years later. He's my coach, and I left the arena that day, and I was like, I'm doing that. Was this wired just watching a fight in the stands? I need to know what it feels like to be in there and doing it.
Yeah.
And sure enough, years later, here we are.
It's amazing. I have to say that I've had the privilege of seeing a lot of amazing fighters. I saw yourself with Khabib at Brooklyn. We were actually doing a live broadcast on air. We thought we were going to be doing wrapping up the post game from 1 to 3 a.m., but you guys were still fighting as we hit the airwaves. I think you guys were just walking out. Or I think it was 12, whatever what time it was. You guys were just walking out. It was a crazy night. It was a crazy long night, and you guys were just walking out as we started the broadcast, you and Khabib. It was nuts. But I saw it was funny because the biggest pop I think I've heard – for a UFC fight. Like, I was there for the BMF fight with Jorge Masvidal and Diaz. I was there for the Conor champ fight. But I think the biggest pop that I've ever heard was after Chris Weidman won at Nassau versus Gastelum. It was incredible. You didn't think it's not even that doesn't even hold as many people as MSG, but the hometown crowd being there was nuts.
Yeah, that was something else. That was what a great night. Nassau Coliseum, I mean, that was it doesn't get much better than that. I was there for that fight and we were going nuts.
Yeah.
Chris came back. He kind of got dropped in the end of the first round. And it might not have been looking the best, and then he comes back and lands that submission shortly thereafter. And the Long Island crowd was going absolutely crazy. There were so many people there that we just walked, you know, through the parking lot, walking to the fights, and we saw so many people that we knew, and it was like a big Long Island reunion. Everybody from, you know, it's a small wrestling community. We saw everybody from the wrestling community, everybody from the football, the sport, high school sports, and the fight community. Everybody came out to support Chris. It was really something else.
No, it was phenomenal, and it was amazing. You're right. Gastelum landed a shot too, and it was just like it's weird because you see how big, tall Chris is, and Gastelum's definitely a shorter guy, but he was able to touch him up. It's crazy to see. Every time I see fights, especially yours too, it's always a chess match. And sometimes the matchups, the styles make fights. And a guy like you you've been able to dominate a guy like Kevin Lee. And I see that Kevin Lee has always had promise, has always had, you know, a hyped up type of aura about him. He moves up now to the welterweight division, and he still is having issues. And you've been able to dominate someone like him. Explain to me how matchups like yours, how you're able to dismantle someone like that, who's again so hyped up in the UFC.
Yeah, I think Kevin Lee's just, he can't get out of his own way. He really is just, he's a specimen. There's no reason that a guy with a a build like him shouldn't be the champion or anything. He's just, it's in his own head. The way he talks before a fight, you know, it was his first fight at 170. Going back to 170, I think he was unsuccessful the last time he was at 170. And he's already saying that he could beat the champ or whatever. And it's really just, lack of self-awareness. And then there's nothing that will bring you to reality faster than a UFC fight. And when you realize after, 5-7 minutes, that this guy's not going anywhere, and that maybe you're going to have to work a little harder than you thought it was. You weren't going to just walk through everybody at 170. It can, and I think that's what happened. He thought he was already top five, as he said in some of his interviews. I'm already top, basically already top five. He said he's looking at Kamaru Usman. Goes in there against a guy that's taking it on short notice, and the guy was hanging in there strong, and then ended up started to come back, and I think that just mentally broke Kevin Lee. He thinks he's, you know, it's just the mentality going in. You gotta have your mind in the right spot, and you gotta be real with yourself going into it. Your coaches have to put you in situations in the training room where you know where you're at going into it, and really everything around you has to be in a line with who you are. I don't think he's himself in interviews. I don't think he's himself really in like life. So I think it's super real when you get in there and there's no hiding. So when you realize in a fight that who you've been portraying this whole time, it's coming out that you're not, you kind of break. And that's what happened.
It's funny you say that because you definitely need hype men for sure. You definitely need someone to hype you up because you need to have that. You need to have that energy. You need someone to tell you like you can do it, because it can't. You some days you have rougher days in the gym or whatever it is, and you need someone else to motivate you. I think. But you look at like guys like Stipe in that the second Francis Ngannou fight, where Francis stuffed the takedown. That was it. The game.
the night was over. Like, once Francis stuffed that takedown for Stipe, it was like night-night Stipe. Same thing with Connor and Nate Diaz in their first fight. When Connor tried to knock Diaz out a couple times and Diaz stood up, it's like, okay, that's not working. I need a different approach, and I don't have one. And that's the same thing with Kevin Lee. Probably going to a higher weight class, thinking he has that edge, and then realize that Daniel Rodriguez is a legitimate fighter. He's a really good fighter. You're not going to take him down that easy. And that, unfortunately, is a rude awakening to Kevin Lee. But it's amazing. Like, you have to have those hype men around you, no?
It's a balance. I think there's a balance between a realistic, I guess you call it a hype man, but not really. You really a hype man, I don't know. It's got to be a realistic, look, this guy's tough, but you can take him down, or you're going to have to work for it. And you might not get the first takedown. You might have to get the. You might get him down quick, quick in the beginning, and then you're gonna have to keep working for it. Keep working for it, and that's what you really have to be told. I think, I think whether it's Kevin Lee telling himself that it's all gonna be easy, or whether someone's telling him that, I don't know. I don't know what is going on in his head, but it ain't the right thing. I can guarantee you that.
Two more questions for you. Speak about hype. Dude, the Brooklyn UFC that you were at, where you were up against Khabib, was a crazy week of events that led up to you fighting Khabib. You know, whether, you know, obviously Tony was supposed to fight Khabib, but that fight will never happen, clearly now. Then Max Holloway steps in, and then next thing you know, you're the one who's given that that gift of a fight for a title. And to be honest with you, you fared great. You did great. You took five rounds with Khabib. Not many people can say that. Not many people can say that. But explain to me, A, when did you actually get the notification? When did you get the feeling that you might actually be considered to fight Khabib? And then at that moment in time, did you sit down with your camp and, like, how did you reapproach how to fight a guy like Khabib?
The UFC called me and they said, come down to the office. We want to talk to you. And I, at that point, I knew. I mean, I had been kind of campaigning for it. I had been campaigning for it. There was rumors it was going to be Pettis and Felder, who I was supposed to fight. So I just went downstairs and I started yelling across the hotel room at Sean Shelby, the matchmaker. I said, Shelby, I'm your guy. I'm the guy. And then went back up to the room and I got the call, and I knew that it was maybe like 30 hours before I got the call that it was going to be me. And at that point, it really wasn't much. I just kind of went in there with what I had, and I was gonna just give it my best shot. I had only trained for three rounds. I hadn't been training for a wrestler, but I kind of just told myself I was gonna rely on my career's worth of training. I've wrestled in high school, a year at Nassau Community College. I went out to Jay Robinson's 28-day intensive wrestling camp two times, and I knew that my wrestling was probably better than any person he's fought in the UFC yet. And, I just went out there and just said I was going to go after him, which right in the beginning, I went right after him. But the guy's good, man. He was good. He was well-prepared. That's why he is one of the greatest of all time, you know?
Do you think that we know that he's right, you said he's elite. He's one of the GOATs. He's one of the best wrestlers of all time. But do you think that you were actually, because it looked like to me that your wrestling actually held up with him and he had to stand because your wrestling was just as good. Did you feel that way in the cage with him?
Yeah, after the first takedown, he got me down, and I hadn't really been expecting. He shot like a low single, something I really didn't see him shooting. But after that, I kind of got the hang of it, and definitely once we got a little sweaty, I was able to slip out of some stuff and take downs, get back up to my feet once he got me down. So I definitely grew as the fight went on to stopping his takedowns. And yeah, I think that he was it was his first five round fight. Fight going five rounds. So I think he didn't really want to expend too much energy trying to get those takedowns, and I think that once I stopped a few, he realized that was how it was going to go. So he was way more apt to standing up because he didn't want to expend the energy in a five-round fight to try to get me down.
Is he the strongest fighter at the lightweight division that you've ever fought as far as wrestling-wise? Is there a noticeable difference in strength?
Yeah, I would say so. I'd say it's a strength and technical strength where he distributes his weight when he gets you down. You know, there's guys that weigh 100 pounds, but when they get you down, they can feel like they're 500 pounds by the way they put their weight on you and the way they drive their shoulder into your neck and control your head. There's just little nuances to pressure to where a guy that Khabib's weight, that he was probably like 180 pounds at the time, felt like he was 200 plus.
That's unbelievable. Last question for you, Al, because I know you're busy. I know you're just a busy man. Are you selling any houses today, by the way, or no?
I just closed on
There we go.
Gian Vellante, who will also be on the card November 6th.
Big man Vellante. Dude, I love that man. I've met him a few times. He's unbelievable. He's always got it. He always brings it.
He really does. He was probably, out of everybody I've worked with, the biggest headache, but also we had the most laughs at the same time. He sold his house in Long Beach, and he's bringing his talents back to Levittown. His kids will go to Levittown, MacArthur, where he went and terrorized the place just like he did. So we closed a little while ago, but right now I'm just focused on the fight. I got a couple of rental properties that takes up a little bit of my time. Maintenance and stuff like that. So I've just been focused on that, looking at hopefully getting a few more rental properties in the future. And
is rentals where you make the most money, or is it the house, the sale of the house?
It's the sale. You know, the sale, you get that commission check, and then instead of spending that commission check, I try to put it into an investment property. So, you know, or sell a couple houses, buy a property.
How many properties do you have?
Three. I own three houses right now. They do very well.
Are they one family? Are they two family? What type of properties are them? Are they?
Two families. They're two family houses.
Oh my God. So you're just raking in the rent too.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely found a niche that is pretty good. On Long Island, it's difficult to, with the taxes being
so high, dude. Yes.
Yeah, the taxes are so high. So I've locked out. I found some good. Through being a real estate agent, and I in the beginning found a couple of good investment properties for friends that I know, and then kind of got my feet wet doing that. I've gotten really good at finding investment properties where you can invest a little bit of money, put some equity, a little bit of renovations, nothing crazy, but it'll increase the rent roll and the return on your investment. It's been working for me, so I'm really looking forward. I think that's going to be, once I'm done fighting, that's going to be my thing, is kind of two family houses on Long Island, try to build up a really big portfolio, and that's it.
Dude, that, and you got the Call Me Al show now too. So you got a lot of different areas that you could promote the podcast, promote the show, promote the your agency, promote it all right now, so everyone can go check it out and hit you up when they need the house.
Thursday nights on you can find it on YouTube, Twitter, the Haps app, the Call Me Al show. Myself and Aaron Weinbaum, who's an incredible Twitter personality, we have a great show. We have guests calling in. We discuss everything from what's going on in mixed martial arts to current events and all the craziness that's going on in the world. If you're looking to buy, sell, rent anywhere in the United States of America, I can help you out.
Let's go.
You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Al Iaquinta everywhere. I think that's it, man. November 6th, Madison Square Garden, live on ESPN.
Let's go.
Let's go. New York representing.
Al, listen, man, I appreciate the time. You were freaking awesome. Let's do this again, either before or after the fight. I'd love to get you in studio sometime too, my friend. I appreciate it, and good luck the whole way. And I'll talk to you soon, man. But this is awesome. This is fun.
Absolutely, it was great talking to you. And yes, we'll be in studio before you know it.
Raging Al is the man, and that was awesome. And I'm looking forward to seeing him fight in MSG, which is going to be awesome. I think it's the first time he's fighting. Yeah, he's the first time he's been fighting in MSG. He was at Barclays versus Khabib, obviously, but this is, I think, his first in MSG. So we're looking forward to that coming up. Thank you again for listening, as always. Thank you again for following at the Hoff WFAN, at the Fight Fan WFAN, at the Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman, everywhere else, meaning Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, WFAN.com, and the Odyssey app. I will be back next week again with more as we break down more fights and everything else. You're listening to The Fight Fan with Pete Hoff.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.